Welcome to Define You Radio, the place to be for real talk and real tips to help you define your personal and professional life. Class is in session with your host, the Southern Belle of Bold, Valencia Griffin Wallace. Pens and papers ready. Class is now in session.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the 2018 season of Define You Radio. Class is in session. I promise, guys, at the end of March, I will stop saying the 2018 season, but technically, we're still in March, so I can still say it. That's how I feel. I am your host, the Southern Belle of Bold, Valencia Griffin Wallace. Define You Radio is the place to get the life lessons, strategies, hashtag real talk, and more to help you define life on your own terms. Make sure you are subscribed and connected to all things Define You, including the fabulous Define You movement, which is on Facebook, where class is in session 7 days a week. You can find out more at www.defineyouradio.com. Well, this month's series is all about unapologetic living. That's what we're talking about. And class is in session tonight with another hot seat edition of Define You Radio. Now, I know you guys that tuned in our last hot seat edition really enjoyed it. We're going to be doing it twice a month, maybe more, maybe randomly. I don't know. We're just rolling with the whole vibe of giving you guys something you can relate to, understand, and feel like you're just sitting down in your living room with a good cup of coffee and some girlfriends. So that's what this is all about. I'm joined, of course, by my two fabulous co-hosts. They are speakers, authors, creative minds, but most of all, they are queens, LaVon Copeland and Shannon Ward. Ladies, say hey to the audience.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Yay. Okay, so tonight's hot seat, and I hope you guys have your pens and papers ready. It is truly something to discuss. Will truly be hot. You guys can press 1. If you have questions and we have time to get to you, or you can leave your comments and everything on Define You Radio's Facebook page. So tonight we are discussing colorism. Now, some of you, if you're like me a few years ago, you're like, what the heck? Colorism? Is that a, you know, what is that? So I'm going to give you just a quick definition, okay? Colorism, according to dictionary.com, is prejudice or discrimination against individuals with a dark skin tone, typically among people of the same ethnic or racial group. That's according to dictionary.com. But according to ValenciaGWallace.com, that means you think you are better than or less than someone because they are lighter than you or darker than you or something of that nature. So that's according to ValenciaGWallace.com. You got an issue with your color or other people's colors. I think I gave a good definition. What y'all think?
I think that was perfect, spot on.
I think, yes, it is perfect.
Now, okay, so the reason why, I'm going to tell y'all how this came to me, right? I was listening over the weekend. I traveled to Austin, and I played an inmate in a play, which was a phenomenal experience. It was, the play is The Pink Elephant in the Middle of the Ghetto. You guys check out the book, check out the play. It was awesome. I posted some clips online. I was singing and dancing in an inmate's uniform. But long story short, the drive to Austin, I was listening to an audiobook, Gabrielle Union's We're Going to Need More Wine. Have y'all read that or heard of it?
I've heard of it, but I haven't gotten around to reading it yet.
No, I haven't either, but I saw her promos, and I've seen that there's been a lot of conversation around it.
It was very interesting, and I haven't finished it, mind you, so let me just add that part. I hadn't finished it, but one of the issues that she had. And if you look at Gabrielle Union, you're like, oh, my God, she's so beautiful. That's a bring it on chick, you know, and everything else. But she didn't grow up in an environment, in a black environment, so to speak. She had to go visit her family that lived in a black environment. But she had issues with being black or brown skin, you know, because apparently her mother and her sisters are lighter, and she's the dark one that took on her dad's looks. So, and you never would have thought that, because to me she's such a beautiful woman, and for her to talk about, you know, in death and definitely with pain, her experience of being brown or black. So I personally, I'd love to hear what you guys think about colorism and maybe your experience with it, Shannon. I know you said that that was something that you dealt with in some way, shape, or form growing up, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, it was, like you said, you didn't know that it was a problem until, you know, recently.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, and it's when it's addressed. And, I mean, it's a so my family, we have a big family. I have 11 siblings. So I never really paid attention to, you know, I'm lighter, he's darker. I mean, now one brother we did kind of tease a little bit. And he's like, you know, because he's real, you know, the word they use, high yellow, and he's got this curly hair. And we're like, okay, no, you're not related to the rest of us. You are darker. But, you know, these are the things you're saying. You don't really think about them while you're saying them. It's just there, you know, these experiences you grew up with. And but like I said, growing up with 11 siblings, all of us are different shades, every one of us. So you don't really pay attention to the fact that, you know, this one might be better than that one, or that one might be better than that one, until someone else brings that into your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pull up, you know, you see it. You like, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's true. I totally agree.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you got some, hate to say it, but you have some family members that'll like certain ones a little bit more because of their complexion, or and like others less. And when you then you start to pay attention to it that way, but on your own, you don't really pay attention to it. So it's when Valencia, when you proposed the topic, I was like, wow, like I really had to think from it. I was like, you know, that's a serious topic that honestly I don't think, especially in the black community, it's not addressed enough. It's really not addressed mm-hmm. enough. We're fine with whatever we want to say. We're fine with Black Lives Matter. We're fine with all of that. Let's be
mm-hmm.
clear. I agree, but we don't do enough to make sure that within our community, within the household, that we're addressing the fact that not only do we allow society to separate us, but we separate ourselves by foolishness like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That, yes. Yes. That it's like that. We do. We absolutely do that. We divide within our own selves, our own race. We do, exactly as Shannon said. Yes, Black Lives Matter. Yes, we want to see united as, you know, a group. But we will, within our own group, deteriorate each other. We will tear each other down. And you want to divide because of light skin, good hair, you know,
right.
Dark skin, nappy hair, curl, you know, your hair is coarse. We will do that. Wow. Yeah, totally.
Well, I will confess some guilt in this, okay? I will confess some guilt because my family across the board is pretty much brown skin, my color. We rarely have someone that's light or someone that's, you know, what I would consider dark. Everybody's pretty much brown. But roughly once in a generation or, you know, age group or whatever, someone, we'd have one light skin and somebody that's dark skin, and we would do, you know, we would say, you know, oh, you're adopted. Oh, okay, we've had enough for this generation. So on and so forth. And what's crazy is, like, my great-grandmother was really light with gray eyes and everything, and my great-grandfather was really dark. And I guess, you know, the combination of both of them just created, you know, at least in in my family, a lot of brown-skinned people. And I really didn't look at it anyway except, you know, of course I would do the teasing, like, you know, like Shannon was saying, oh, you're adopted, you don't belong here, and you know, different things like that, but you don't think about it like that. But truly, that is, you know, colorism. And if you think about the songs, okay, so if you just go back in your memory and you think about Heavy D, that was my mantra, black coffee, no sugar, no cream, you know, like, yeah, all black coffee, you know, that was it. And then Tupac, the black of the berry, the sweet of the juice. And I was like, yeah, so I'm in, you know, like, yeah, I'm good, you know. And
but Melissa, you think, you know, they've done the same thing with men, you know, they hear what light skin men ain't in season this year, you know, but me, like,
right.
Darker men are what's hot this year, you know. You had all these nice chocolate, you know, actors that came out, and people were like, oh my God. So it's like now, you know, I've heard a comedian say, you know, we back, it's in again.
And, but you know, that is truly, that's truly colorism, you know.
Yeah.
That's to me, you know. But you think about back in the day, every, you know, DeBarge, everybody wanted that light skin. You can't tell if he was Mexican or black, and with the curly hair, like DeBarge was it, you know, Prince and everything else. And then when Michael Jackson was everything, all of a sudden Michael Jackson changed, and like, hold on, what's wrong with being black, Michael? Or
right.
brown?
Right.
I have questions.
Oh.
Absolutely.
That's deep. That's deep. But you know what and but the thing is, and it started so long ago. I can recall an instance. So I told you I have, you know, 11 of us total that I have, we're all different shades. And so my oldest brother, he's he's darker. And he was dating a young lady, and she was darker as well. And I remember someone in the family telling him, they said, you know, you really don't want to marry that girl. And he said, well, why not? And their reply was, because if you marry her and y'all have kids, those children will come out looking like a puff of smoke.
Oh, my God. That's funny and not at the same time. So, y'all forgive me for laughing, because it's really not funny, but it kind of is.
But you laugh. You laugh because there's nothing else to do.
Wow.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But to this day, I honestly think it affected him, as it was said, because he has children now. But, of course, they're
with
not
her.
By a woman. Right. They're, well, his oldest son is by an Indian. His youngest one is by a Hispanic lady. And I'm and I think it's all. I cannot recall him even dating a black woman after that one.
Wow.
And it's crazy how, you know, how we do this to ourselves. And then on the flip side, now we get mad and say, okay, well, he couldn't stay in his race. Wait a minute, what?
First
we brushed
of all, love, him.
Love doesn't have a color. Let's start there. Let's just start like this. It knows no color. It only recognizes love and hate. That's all. But you just pushed him away from possibly offer. Do it, you know?
Doesn't have no babies that look like smoke.
Exactly. To this day, he does not find an attraction to black women. He does not.
Wow.
So, ladies, do you
now?
Think-
I wonder. Now, I was going to say, I wonder if Wesley Snipes was told that, because, you know, he's never dated a black woman. And I know it's kind of getting off the topic, but you wonder if, you know, he was told something like that. Now, I'm going to be honest, okay? I'm like in full confession mode. I have a niece, Valencia Jr., as a matter of fact, if you listen, TT, love you and all that. But I remember telling her she's really light-skinned. And when she came out, you know, I was asking my sister, like, is her daddy white? Because she was, like, extra light. And she started dating a guy who, you know, was really light-skinned like her. And God forgive me, but my honest words to her was, like, y'all better not have any kids because your kids are going to be invisible. And I didn't think twice about saying it or anything like that, but I'd never thought of, and, you know, growing up, we used to, you know, honestly call her, like, you know, white girl and, you know, stuff like that, because she was always really, really light, not really thinking how, you know, it would later affect her. Side note, it didn't affect her too much, me saying, I don't want to say that, but they did have a beautiful son who's not invisible, so let me add that. But you don't think about those things till, like, after the fact. Like, oh, my gosh, I could have made her have an issue with being, you know, light-skinned or whatever because of my comment. Like, you know, I don't know if people in Louisiana just say it, but, you know, they'll say two dark-skinned people shouldn't have kids and two light-skinned people shouldn't have kids. That's ignorance at its best.
Absolutely.
But it's something that's said.
So. Absolutely.
My confession moment. I know I was all the way wrong, okay? But and it wasn't that long ago. It was like just a couple of, you know, like about 3-4 years ago. I don't know how the baby is now, but you don't think about that because I look at it like I've never had an issue with being brown. So you think other people don't have issues with their color growing up. You know, my role models were Chaka Khan, Whitney Houston, two brown-skinned women. My Barbies were brown. So I was taught to love my brownness. So whatever self-esteem issues I had growing up, none of them stemmed from my color. So you're pretty for a black girl. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. LaVon, you're pretty for a black girl. Shannon,
you know that upsets me. I have to say, like, that, and I mean, like, because you're dark, you can't be pretty, or like that's an anomaly. Like, it just it's. Like, it's like some of it's, to me, it's one of the stupidest things a person can say. You know, I've even heard it's just like, oh, well, she's pretty for a heavy girl. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah. See, I heard that. I've heard it, but I've heard people say the same thing for dark skin. Yeah.
Yeah.
They say the same thing. Oh, she's a pretty dark skin girl. She's a pretty chocolate girl.
I've never liked that. I'm like, either she's pretty or she's not. What does the color of her skin have to do with her beauty? Now, I will say, now, and
this is your confession moment.
This is my confession. But confession, I don't think it's really that bad because, now, I looked at some people and it was a young girl in a magazine. And she was dark-skinned, but I looked at her, I was like, oh, my God, her skin is beautiful. So it wasn't she's beautiful, but it was the texture of her skin, her tone, how even it was. Like, you know, when I was looking at it, I'm like, she's even all over. Like, you know, some of us, even our light skin, have, you know, darker spots or lighter spots. She was even all through. Like, there was no variance of her shade. And I was just like, wow, she is gorgeous, but not because she was dark-skinned or, oh, well, she's beautiful because she's a dark-skinned girl. Now, growing up, of course, you know, you think that that's okay to say that kind of stuff. You think it's okay to do that. And to be honest, again, confession moment, as a lighter-skinned girl, you are kind of given leeway that darker skinned girls wasn't getting. You kind of got more attention that the darker skin wasn't getting. And to be honest, yeah, we just relished in the attention. At least I did. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, hey, I'm getting the attention over here. You're not. So go sit down, you know. You know, I mean, that's just, you know. But, okay.
I have questions. I have so many questions. Okay. Okay. Do you consider yourself light skinned or dark skinned?
I consider myself mocha.
that's not an option. If there's, like, real talk, if there were two options, because, you know, there are two options, light skin, dark skin. Like, if somebody asks you that, what, you can't answer mocha. Mocha is not an option at this juncture.
Well, I would just like to go on record saying that if, you know, Jesse Jackson and others can create their own language, I should be able to create my own skin tone. But I'll come back.
I know, because it's like we are so many shades. There are so many variations from the lightest to the dark. It's like you know, if you put into, where would you draw the line as to, okay, all of this shade and here, from this shade to here is light, and then this shade to here is dark, because I think I'm that nice middle color, you know, I'm somewhere right there in the middle. So, but would I make the line for light skin or dark skin, you know?
See, that's the way I feel.
Well,
okay, right down the middle.
But y'all know, now, see, if somebody asked me that question, I would be like, I consider myself brown skin, and it kind of depends on the time of the year, because, of course, during the summer, I get a little darker, and during the winter, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, you know, but the paper bag test, I think that's the line. And for you guys that don't know about the paper bag test, is something, I don't know who invented it, when it was around, but it was something back in the day that, you know, you take a brown paper bag. If you were lighter than the paper bag, you were light skin. And if you were darker than the paper bag, you were brown skin. So at this point in the show, I'm expecting people to go out and find paper bags. To figure out what size are they. Am I lighter than a paper bag or darker? But it was
Melissa, you know, you got people now that's doing that. They in there in that kitchen drawer looking for a brown paper bag.
And I'm like, who has paper bags anymore?
No.
Listen, I have questions. So what about both of us? Now, I would consider myself the shade of the paper bag. So I'm not lighter than it or darker than it. I'm the shade of a paper bag. So then what am I?
You are paper bag. Then you're neither light nor dark. You're the color of a paper bag. That's so. If some next time somebody asks you that, wait, have you gotten a paper bag to see what side of the paper bag you're on?
Oh my Lord!
I know. I'm trying to find a paper bag now. Hey, I might be dark skinned.
But it's crazy how long this debate has been going on and how long this has been an issue. And I love that both of you said this is something we don't talk about. And I'm like, you don't have to discuss it with anger, but let's not deny that some women do have an issue with themselves, you know, because they feel like they, you know, are darker or, you know, whatever else. They're having issues, feel like they were treated different or whatever else. And me, as someone that I would say I'm probably the same color as the paper bag, I don't know. I'm going to find out, because I'm pretty sure I could find a paper bag somewhere in this camp. But I always considered myself brown, and I never forget when someone – describe me as being dark, and I was like, dark? Where am I dark? And I did honestly get offended, because it's like I did not want to be called dark skin. I'm okay with being called brown, you know.
Yeah.
But I did not want to be referred to as dark skin. Mind you, I had an issue with my lips too. If somebody referred to me having big lips, now I'm okay. I love my big juicies, but I don't have big lips, you know, because, and you think about that's something that's ingrained, you know, dark skin, big lips, you know, next thing somebody's going to say, oh, you look like an old slave. You know, but now everybody wants, you know, big lips. Everybody's
lips. Yeah.
And those things. So it's, But it's crazy when you really think about that. My friends have always been various colors and races. And I could honestly say, I don't personally think I had any friends that thought they were better because they were on one side of the paper bag or acted a certain way. Not that I could recall it this time, but if I recall it, I will put them on blast on the Facebook page.
I would have to say, for me, you know, I'm listening to your, you know, both of you all's stories, and I feel like I've fallen somewhere in the middle because I can relate to you, Valencia, because in my family, I come from a family of, you know, where most of the skin tones are darker, you know, so I've mm-hmm. always seen, you know, these beautiful brown, you know, and I consider them brown, just pretty brown women. You know, my mother is dark skin, and I love, you know, I've always loved and envied, you know, her skin. Like Shannon said, it's just the texture of it, the tone is just beautiful, you know. So, but then I've been at that place where even within my own family, you know, people made jokes like, you know, are you adoptive? I've heard that, Shannon, or is that really your mama? Mm-hmm. You know, why you don't look like your mama and your sister? You know, because my mom, my sister, and brother are all, you know, darker skin tones, but I've always just saw it as beautiful skin.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that affect you? Did you go, like, try to tan or get darker to try to fit in with them, or what? How did that affect you?
No, I guess because my family colors have range because, you know, we have biracial, you know, cousins. I have biracial cousins, so we do have some lighter skin tones, but the majority, I would say, darker. But we've always was just raised to embrace the person that we were, the skin that we were in. So I felt comfortable always in my skin tone, but I've always, you know, loved and just admired, you know, my mom and my sister and my brother.
That's and thank you for sharing it. And that's why I was surprised to learn that people had self-esteem issues because they were dark-skinned. Like, I thought that was something somebody made up just to make something up, because I'm like, what? How does that make sense? And it wasn't until I got older and started talking to different women and really kind of paying attention to different things to where I would see, you know, have conversations with people that said they had low self-esteem because they were, you know, quote unquote, darker than a paper bag or darker skin. And I'm like, what? Like, are you ripped? Are you kidding? I mean, I might have sounded insensitive, but I was being honest. I was like, are you kidding me? You know, it was crazy to even think that. But I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna say something, because one of the things I hear and have heard was, you know, like, are you and your husband going to have kids? Because y'all would have pretty babies. Well, why would my baby be pretty? Because, you know, you'll have a mix. You know, your baby will be mixed. What? Number one, anything that comes out of me will be gorgeous, hence my son. But it's the fact that people even have that kind of mentality to think that I'm going to have some drop-dead gorgeous, you know, what if we had a kid and the kid was ugly? Would the kid still be considered cute because it's mixed? You know, I have questions. But going back to my original point, is anything that come out of me will be gorgeous, either in the face or by clothes. You know,
but
have
that is something I think
if I have to.
I think it still goes back to society, how society views, you know, they view that mixed child, you know, they, you know, that's going to be a beautiful skin tone, nice hair, you know, it's automatic. People think that when they see a biracial couple, it's automatic beauty.
Yep. Assume that we're going to, y'all make some pretty babies. What? You know, like, number one, who even says that? Because that's, like, totally violating my space and my, you know, whatever else. Well, it's like, I'm sorry, they have some ugly mixed babies. They have some, I mean, you know, some people won't say they have ugly babies, but they do have ugly, some ugly babies of all race, genders, and skin tones. Every baby
preaching.
Is not cute because it's, you know, people just want to be all cute and cuddly, but let's be honest, we have all seen an ugly baby. So
yes,
just because I'm, you know, I don't know what would happen. You know, I may have an ugly gene that go back in my DNA somewhere. My husband may have an ugly gene, and those genes may come forward, and here it is. I got this ugly mixed baby that society has messed my head up to think the baby was going to be cute because it's mixed, and I got an
right.
ugly baby. So, ooh, that came from somewhere. Have y'all seen, there's a documentary called Dark Girls. Have y'all seen that?
I haven't.
No? Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces. I never usually sit down long enough to watch something from beginning to end, but I have seen bits and pieces of it.
I was disgusted by it, honestly. I saw it a couple of years ago, and I was like, whoever made this documentary needs their house egg, because everybody they had on there, basically, Shannon, and I do suggest, like, you watch it, like, as much as you mm-hmm. can stomach, but basically mm-hmm. it had everybody on there that could not pass the paper bag test saying how
mm-hmm.
much they hated themselves. And I'm like, wait a minute, where are the women who love themselves? Everybody that quote unquote doesn't pass the paper bag test doesn't mean like, oh my gosh, I hate myself, let me take a bath in bleach. But basically that's what the documentary
yeah.
was about, and I was disgusted by it, honestly.
Wow.
Because there are some women who love their brown skin, you know, they love their dark, whatever shade, the darkness of their skin, they love that natural, you know, curly, coily hair. There are some women that embrace the beauty of it.
Absolutely.
Life is very interesting.
I'm gonna have to
yeah.
I'll look that up, because that is very interesting. I have never even heard of that. I've just never. I don't know if I'm.
It's called Dark Girls. It's called Dark Girls. Well, number one, I don't like the title. Okay,
right.
So let's just be honest, Dark Girls, but it's a. I saw it a couple of years ago. It was on Netflix, so it may still be on there, or you know you can find everything on YouTube. But I was completely disgusted by it. But honestly, it made me look at, you know, my nieces. And if we, you know, let's have a moment of pure transparency and honesty, all the role models they have today do not look like them.
True.
Wow. Yeah.
It's true.
You
wow.
know, and I wonder how does that affect them when they're role models, and I understand we are in a, you know, everybody love everybody society, and everybody should play with every color Barbie and dolls, and your child should have a mix. Range of Barbies and everything else. But one of the reasons I didn't have an issue with my color was because my role models and my dolls were the same shade as me.
Right. Right.
And all of their role models, you know, if you look at the songs kids are singing, they are all very much on the other side of the paper bag. I don't even know if they would even qualify on a level of paper bag. Because everybody, you know, wants to be mixed with something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sin to say, I am 100% black. No, I have Indian, some Brazilian. I have, you know, yeah, maybe the hair that I have on my head. But, you know.
Because it's about some good Indian creamy on your head. That's true. That's real pretty.
You know. But, you know, how do you tell kids today that your skin tone is beautiful, everything about you is beautiful, when nobody that they see as a role model you know, it's like, you know, they're not seeing anybody as a role model that looks like them. And the people that has the fame and has the money and have all those things that, you know, the beauty that little girls look at and, you know, perpetuated by society doesn't look like them. Like, how do you even have that conversation?
You know.
Go ahead, Shannon.
I have to say this. In this particular arena, I have to be grateful that I have a boy. Because
Hashtag amen.
Even the role models for the boys, once now I'm still like, it makes me cringe with that he wants to let his hair just grow out and just be nappy. Son, at least comb it. Something, pick it. No, he doesn't want to do that. Ayo and Tayo don't wear their hair like that. It's all over their head. And okay, son, all right. But at least he sees some that are his color, his shade of black. They're not, you know, they're mixed of colors, but he doesn't have to see, like you said, the ones that's on the far end of the paper bag that probably won't even have to go through a paper bag test. He doesn't see that. So as a boy, I'm extremely grateful that that's not the case for him. Now, those are girls.
So, Shannon, women, we have to deal with compared to our men. Would you say that?
I would absolutely agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so now this is when the conversation turns left and gets really hot.
Because you see men of all colors that can be role models, but like you say, think about what our kids listen to. Like you said, Valencia, as far as in music, what they're singing. Now, if they're listening to rap, okay, look at Gucci Mane. He's dark. Okay, they can see a dark-skinned rapper. They can see a dark-skinned song, you know, R&B singer, a hip-hop singer. They see a good variety. But if you think about your female artist, that's not something you see a lot of. You know, they see the Nicki Minaj, they see the Beyonce, you know, her some of the songs, you know, people like Fantasia, they have talked about it's harder for a darker skinned person to be an artist. You know, they have to fight sometimes a little bit harder because they're not sold or they're not promoted as easy.
But now that you say that, like, because as you were talking, I was going through my head with, okay, who would I consider popular that's on the other side of the paper bag, so to speak? And my mind went blank until you said Fantasia, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My mind went blank.
Think about it. Yep. So what do our daughters see until you start having, you know, people coming in like, being Mary Jane, where you see this pretty, you know, Gabrielle Union as this beautiful, you know, dark skin, you know, professional. What did you mostly see on TV? Even if you think about TV, you don't see a lot of actresses that are, you know, what we would consider darker skin. So what do our daughters have to look up to? Because you have Idris Elba that comes out and, you know, ladies are like, oh my God. You have all these actors, you know, that are these dark-skinned men that are popular. So our boys do have image, but what does our girls have?
Not much. And I mean, and I'll even say this even about being Mary Jane, because that kind of concerns me too. And it's almost as though she can't be dark-skinned and successful and have a man. She's got to be having relationship issues all the time. Like, why is that?
Wow.
I don't want them to see that. You know, if I had a girl, no, I don't want you to see that part of it. That's not what we want you to see. And it's crazy because even as you begin to talk about it, I was thinking about other artists and other movies, and I'm even thinking about Queen Sugar. And I think about how three children. Now you have the two dark skinned ones stays in Louisiana. And they've tucked it out.
Come on now.
But now you've got the mixed one that's
the professional.
Right. She married the basketball player. She did all the, so it still shows.
It's got money. Yes.
Right. Mm. It still shows girls that okay, maybe the dark skinned girls still they're not winning. They're not winning. You gotta be high yellow, you gotta be red bone, you gotta be all that to actually have something in life.
Wow.
So even those kinds of things still bother me. This is why honestly, as far as like Black Panther, I loved it because these women were strong. Mm-hmm. They were dark. They were not half naked. They were about their business. They were on top of it. And that's
I
the kind of stuff
wanted
that
to, I wanted to shave my head and get a spear after seeing Black Panther. I'm just going to add that there. I wanted to shave my head and get a spear. And I love that, but let me add this, because I loved, oh my gosh, because I love the, you know, I call her Michonne, I don't know her name in real life, but, you know, the lead Black warrior queen is actually, yes. She plays in The Walking Dead, her name's Michonne in The Walking Dead, and so I don't even know her name in real life, but I always thought she represented like that powerful, strong Black woman. One of the things about in Walking Dead, you know, you got this strong, powerful Black woman, right? And everybody mm-hmm. on the show, you know, having relationships. I mean, it's a zombie apocalypse or whatever, except her.
Wow.
As this strong Black woman, she was kicking zombie butt and taking names, just how she was in Black Panther, just, you know, a different thing. But I love that you say that, and I don't know if what we see is affecting what we do or what we do is affecting what we see, because we see it in TV, but think about the women you know that are, you know, brown to dark skin. Are they in relationships? Or has the media gotten so much in their head that they think, you know, as a strong Black woman, I just can't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'll go so far as here, and I don't know, Valencia just might get me kicked off. I don't know. but I'll give it, let me just further. I actually sat one day and just paid attention. Because I observe a lot, and I pay attention to a lot of even I know here in this city a lot of pastors. The wife of the pastor is a specific look. She's really petite. She's on the far end of the paper bag. She's either got this cute short cut,
she real light,
or right, or she's got this really cute short cut, or she's got some nice weave down her back, and if I can pull 10 pastors, and out of 10 of those pastors, 9 of their wives have that same look.
Oh, wow.
So it's something that's there, and I don't really even know if a lot of people are recognizing that that's there. I don't know if they notice it's there. And again, what does that say to our other girls? What does it say to our darker skin girls? What does it say that, you know, in order to, you know, be successful, to get the man, to live the life that you see, or to even to be somebody of prestige, you needed to be this shade. And you're not that shade, so you're just going to get this. You're going to get, and what's funny is because, now confession moment here, I used to tell my older brother, and as I think about it now, it makes me sick that I even said it. I would tell him sometimes, well, you know what? You need to go outside and work anyway, because you too dark to be in the house. I will be a house nigga.
Oh.
Yeah. But you know what? And the thing is, it's imputed in your brain from somewhere. These things pass down through the family line. And to be honest, in order to change it in society, it's got to start in the house. You got to start in your house.
It does.
But people are scared, I mean, to have a discussion about it, that means that you're admitting that it exists, you know? And the thing is, like, I'm not mad at anyone on any side of the paper bag. If you cool with me, I'm cool with you. That's my philosophy in life.
Exactly.
But then you'll see different, you know, and I've seen it, honestly. Like, me being 100, I've seen different posts on social media with people saying different things like, you know, I don't understand why black women have a problem with me because I'm lighter skinned and stuff like that. And number one, it's disgusting to even see that. Why don't you have a discussion? Because it may not be your skin tone. It may be your attitude, you know. So let me add that too. Says, don't assume somebody don't like you because you're on one side of the paper bag. It just may be you. Nothing having to do with nothing else. But it's those discussions we don't have, or we don't have civilly, you know. It got to be some animosity, light skin against dark skin. Like, what? Are you crazy? Life is very interesting. And, you know, like Shannon, I'm very fortunate that I have a son, but I never forget. And I can't remember how old he was. And my son told me one day he wished he was light skin or mixed or something like that. And it took me, I was like, I thought maybe I was half asleep or something. I was like, what? Where does that even come from? So then at that point, I, you know, talked to him about loving, you know, his beautiful brownness and everything else. And to this day, I think Cameron was like in middle school or elementary when he said that. And so I don't know exactly where it came from, if it came from, you know, his environment at school, which was very diverse, or, you know, what it was that made him say that. But that, like, hurt my feelings. Like, how can you not be okay? Like, I didn't even know how to respond to that, almost, because mm-hmm. I was like, what? So I don't know I would just say have those discussions definitely with your kids and with your friends and everything else, because that's part of the problem. If we don't discuss it, like, I honestly didn't even know this was a real thing, self-esteem-wise. I honestly didn't know that till a couple of years ago, because it made no sense to me. If somebody said they had low self-esteem because they were, you know, fat, I could understand that. Versus, you know, or I have low self-esteem because I've been skinny and teased and called skinny. Like, there's so many things like that you see. Versus, you know, I have low self-esteem because I'm dark-skinned. Like, how does that even happen? Now I see it, but, like, women our age, where we grew up with those brown role models and stuff like that, I honestly don't understand it. And even growing up here in Louisiana, where we have levels, I call it levels to blackness, you know, because we have Creole and we have this. You don't know what race you're looking at half the time, because, you know, somebody could have. And I think that's pretty much everywhere, but it's still an issue. You know, and a lot of people, and I've heard this, which I thought was utterly ridiculous to hear. Somebody that has never dated interracially ever told me, I always thought that, you know, like, white men were attracted to lighter skinned black women.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Now that's a first for me.
Yeah.
That's something.
Like, I always just thought white men preferred black women that were mixed or lighter and everything else. So, you know, this opened a discussion. I feel sorry for my husband sometimes. So I brought it to him. I was like, would you prefer if I was lighter or something? And he, of course, looked at me like I was crazy. But it just made me think, like, but something that quick and that utterly ridiculous is generally how people feel when it comes to color. Like, because I would say I'm even with the paper bag. I don't know, but I'm so serious. Before this week is out, I'm going to get a paper bag from somewhere, okay? Because this is like a thing. But, you know, felt like somebody, quote, white or you know, a man of a certain stature, if we think about black men or other men, could not be attracted to a woman that was obviously brown or darker. And I thought that was crazy and very interesting at the same time that that is what people, like, is that really what people think, you know? Thoughts?
I do believe this is a conversation that has to, it's a great conversation that you started here because it raises so many questions, and it's even deeper once we got to talking, you know, looking at, you know, versus men versus women, you know, how they're portrayed in society. I mean, this, I'm sure people are, you know, your listeners are looking for paper bags, you know.
I guarantee you.
A very deep discussion.
Okay, so
I do think something that you said on Valencia, that one, women of our age, sometimes I think we maybe haven't heard this or didn't realize, you know, how real the subject is, how deep it really goes, because I think for me, and I know I can say for myself, is that a lot my role models weren't all on TV or on the radio.
Right.
You know, I didn't see all of them. It was the women that I saw in my home. It was the women that I saw in my family, the women that I saw at church. So I saw many, you know, dark-skinned, pretty brown women of all shades, of, you know, all variations of what we consider black, being strong, being independent, you know, being courageous, have, you know, being powerful in relationships. So that's what I saw. So that's what, I guess for me, it's like, wow, I didn't realize it was on this deep of a level also. But I think we had a different image compared to now where we have social media and technology has advanced so much that what our daughters were is so much different.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Even the photo filters, like when you take a picture, or maybe it's just my phone, all of a sudden, like, I'm like, that is not my color. You know, like, why do these filters keep, you know, like, I'm brown, but, you know, a filter or whatever, even when you just take your picture in general, a good picture, let me add that, then all of a sudden you didn't change races by just taking a picture.
Yeah.
I'm just
saying. But think about your emojis now, how they come in a different shade.
I can't get that on my phone right. Maybe because I have an Android. I am Team Android. And I don't know what to download to where. I want an emoji, like, that's my color. Where is the paper bag color emoji? I'm not talking about the ones, because I've seen someone that was, like, extra, you know, they were way on one side or the other of the paper bag. No, I want an emoji my color. My color emoji.
Yeah.
Somebody invent that. Like, let me scan my skin.
I'm seeing Android people. I can tell you how to get to them. Just hold down on the emoji, and then all the colors will pop up, and you can select the color.
Let me find out. They have a my color emoji.
They do, because my sister, she was so happy. She was like, oh, my God. She was so happy when she was like, I can get, you know, you pick the emoji with the lady raising her hand, and the first time I got ready to see it, I have an Android also, and I updated my phone, and especially if I'm in Messenger and you use the emojis through Messenger, they allow you all the shades, and I'm like, whoa, you can pick the shade, and it has like this spectrum of colors.
Question: how did that make you feel?
I think, like, I just remember my sister was feeling, I could hear, like, pride in her voice, like, yay, I can get an emoji that looks like me.
Yeah, and I would say I felt the same, because it was like, okay, well, it's about time that, you know, everything doesn't always have to just be one shade.
Yeah.
There are many shades in this world, so, yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool. Okay, that's cool. You know, I can, you know, send, you know, this emoji and I come out to somebody, and they can see, yes, it's me, the chocolate girl. It's me. You know.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's interesting to, if you think about it like this here, that's interesting to even think about that even matters. You know what I'm saying?
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That even matters.
Well, and in that situation, though, I think it really, well, for me, I'll say this, it didn't matter until I saw it. You know, because as you... You send the emoji. I didn't really think about it. Just send the emoji, keep it moving. And then I was like, oh, wait. Well, yeah, you know, now it matters. Because, yeah, y'all could have done this the whole time.
Yeah.
That's a whole, like, this is definitely almost like a more than one show topic.
Yeah.
Like you start going down, like they say, the rabbit hole of things, you know, because then we could also get into the whole, you know, how some people feel that wearing wigs or weave mean that you're not proud to be Black.
True.
And so it's like, okay, we went from discriminating against each other by color to now it's a hair thing, you know, okay, or if you want to do a blonde, you know, weave or wig or whatever, like you have a problem with being Black. And I can't remember the situation, but I do remember specifically saying, I am Black 24 hours a day, period. There's no denying my Blackness. You're not going to look at me and think that, you know, I'm mixed or whatever else, but let's just be honest about where we are in 2018. Everybody is mixed with something, and it might be a 0.0000, a billion zeros and one, but we are all mixed with something. And I think if people start looking at it like that, now, before we close out, because I know, oh my gosh, the hour goes by so fast, but I have a hashtag question. Color struck. Y'all know what that is, right? To be color struck?
Absolutely.
Okay. So for the audience that doesn't know, because I know here at Define You Radio, we have an international audience in which we fully appreciate all of you guys. But color struck means like you only like or date someone of a certain shade of, we'll just say a certain shade of Black, a certain shade on the paper bag spectrum. And I will be like 150% honest. I would not, my rule was if you had to be my color or darker for me to date you growing up. That was my rule. I would not date anyone lighter than me because I had in my head, okay, light-skinned dudes, they feminine, they pretty. Don't nobody want to date nobody prettier than them. And I never really thought about it as being colorism, but truly it is.
Wow.
Because I'm pretty, because all of them weren't pretty, but, you know, oh, he's light-skinned. I'm not dating no DeBarge, you know. So, but I did not, which is why everybody that kind of knew me, some of them were shocked that, okay, so you're the same person that wouldn't date anybody lighter than you, but, you know, my husband.
And you went all the way to the...
Look, through the whole bag away. Through the whole bag away.
I threw the whole bag away and just got me a piece of paper. You know, sorry, husband, if you listen, you know what's up. We discuss, like, race and different things in the house. I tell people, you have to imagine, to be married to me, you have to have a sense of humor and ready to talk about some stuff. But, yeah, that was my thing growing up. Like, if you were lighter than me, like, you had to be my color or darker. It could be just a little bit darker, but you had to be, like, we could not be the same, like, exactly the same, or you could not be lighter than me. So did y'all have a preference of, you know, the color of guys that you dated growing up?
I didn't. I didn't care one way or the other.
You were just all over the paper bag, huh?
I have six brothers. Every of them are different shades. I didn't have time to pay attention to anybody else's shade. Like, I got six brothers. I see all this all the time. It didn't matter to me one way or the other.
Valencia, LaVon. I would say that I'm exactly the opposite of you because they had to be my shade or lighter.
Really?
And I still tell people, yes, my shade or lighter.
Ooh.
So, yeah. Totally opposite than you.
That is, like, so very interesting. And, guys, we will definitely have to pick up a variation of this topic on our next hot seat. It has been a great show. So, of course, I want to leave off with the tip. So, LaVon, what tip would you give someone who, you know, has a daughter or son that's, you know, growing up and feeling not so cool about their color of brown?
My tip would be to simply have the conversation. You have to reinforce that the beauty that is within you is so much greater than the beauty that people are seeing that's on the outside, because true beauty flows from the inside out. So walk in your beauty, walk into your purpose, walk into knowing who you are. And if you can't find the role model that you want to see, be the role model you want to see.
Boom. Hashtag boom.
Hashtag boom, amen, and all of the above. Miss Shannon.
Yes,
who dated all over the paper bag.
and the bag too. I didn't discriminate. I went off the bag too.
I know, like, you're the role model here. You're the role model. What would you say to someone whose child is, you know, dealing with self-esteem issues because of their color?
I would have to say, I would, first of all, like LaVon said, you address it. I think a lot of issues that we have could be resolved if we address it and not just brush it off. Like a lot of us had happened to us growing up. You know, we'll try to get over it. You know, it's okay. They just messing with you. They're thinking, no, we need to address that. They, you know, I've had this conversation with my son. No, baby, you're mixed between me and your daddy. Your daddy was a little bit dark, I'm a little lighter, and you right down the middle. You're a beautiful chocolate little boy. And then you have to help them to understand that within their own, they're going to be different colors. They're going to be different shades, different hues. Even in the rainbow, there are different hues of blue. There are different hues of yellow. There are different hues of orange. The same way, though, there are different hues of that. There are different hues of your people and their color. So it doesn't matter what the color is. You have to help them to understand that although the color might be different, it's the heart, it's the spirit of the people that matter. It's who they are inside. Like LaVon said, it's the beautiful person inside. It's the soul of who you need to be paying attention to. And as long as you live in a good place and live from a whole place and a place of love and peace within yourself, it doesn't matter what anybody else has to say about your tone or about you. You don't need to feel any kind of way about your tone because your skin does not make you who you are. It does not make you the man that you are destined to be in this world.
Hashtag amen. And
the truth
all down. Yes, to add to y'all great mature advice, number one, I want to say this also. Colorism does not just exist in the black community. There's different cultures like India and, you know, other places where colorism is an issue. So don't think, you know, that this is just a black issue. Everybody should be having this discussion. And when in doubt, Google ugly babies. Okay, and just look at the different colors and shades of the ugly babies, and you know it. You know, that's my hashtag, just being real blunt and honest. Ugly babies come in all colors and everything else. So, like I said, they gave the mature advice. I'm going to give the immature advice. Google ugly babies, show them to your kid, and be like, do you think this baby is cute because it's a different color? And that's what I have to say. with that being said, it has been a great hot seat edition of Define You Radio. Make sure you guys connect with our beautiful co-hosts, LaVon Copeland and Shannon Ward. Their information can be found on Define You Radio's Facebook page. Make sure you stay connected so you know when we're having the next hot seat and what we're talking about. And, yeah, pens and papers down. Class is officially over. Until next time, remember your past doesn't define you. It gives you definition. And it's up to you what you do with that. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Define You Radio. Make sure you connect with the show at www.defineyouradio.com. Pens and papers down. Class dismissed.